Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Dating Intelligence. I'm Christopher Lewis, and I have an incredible guest on my show today, which is actually going to be my co-host. So I'm rolling solo again because Jamie Villamore is out gallivanting in her new Adventureland European, whatever the hell she has podcast going on. So I had to bring my own people this time. So anyways, Jamie Villamore, shout out to you. Also, I want to give a shout out to Connor Linderuth, my producer who's producing the show with his videos and things like that. Shout out, Connor. And to the main people at the studio that I'm using, it's called the House of Cocotte. It's an amazing restaurant in downtown LA. They have all this amazing space, guys, event spaces, speakeasy, whatever you need. This is the place to come, the House of Cocotte. So thanks to the two Philippes. All right, now let's get into my guest right now because I don't want to take up any more time because I'm going to need her. She's got a lot going on, guys. So my guest co-host today is a comedian, writer, and actor that has created a dating comedy show that puts a fresh new spin on it for singles looking to find their match. It's a modern-day dating game that has you laughing as well as rooting for the bachelor or bachelorette to find their match for now. She has been featured in numerous magazines and shows and definitely can turn heads with her gorgeous golden locks. Please welcome Alison Goldberg to the show. What's up, Allie?
Oh, where do we begin? So many things are up and down and all around. Yes. But I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad you made it here because, guys, Allison walked in the door today and she's got a lot going on. So I'm just happy that you're here and you made it here.
Yeah,
so
we'll just fill them in that my housing collapsed and I wish that I were exaggerating in the slightest.
Like literally collapsed.
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to know, since this is a dating show, like, is it cute that I have no home? Like, is that a perk? You know, because I can come back to your place really easily because I don't have a place, you know? So that's what where we're at right now. But thank you for getting me out of my friend's living room. That's really nice.
But yeah, so this all worked out today. And by the way, guys, Allison is looking for a place to stay. If you guys have anything available, you know.
Are you single? You have a home? Hit me up. Yeah.
That's a new tagline for singles, basically, right? If you have a home, I'm homeless. Hit me up.
Oh my gosh. Just to be clear, like, there was flooding and extreme negligence by the landlord. So this is a true story that my entire building collapsed. And my heart really goes out to all the Christians in the building. Okay. Sincerely, I've never been so happy to be Jewish because it literally, we got a notice that we could not return to the building December 20th. And I'm like, I'm Jewish. If you celebrate Christmas, this truly is your Grinch and Christmas
yes,
has
it
been
is.
Ruined.
Right.
You know, people kept texting me like, oh my gosh, this is the worst time for this to happen. And I'm like, I don't know, frankly, as a Jew, it might be the best time for this to happen. Like, things are pretty slow work-wise. Yeah. But anyway, let's move on to dating.
No.
But thanks for having
You're
me.
You're welcome. All right. Well, you know, we can just segue into all this and just keep it going with this because I just want to know, basically, like, did it all collapse at once? Or was it just
over time? That's the thing. Is like, it's also kind of an interesting mm-hmm. story. Like, I think there's going to be a class action lawsuit. But I mean, I could talk your ear off about it because it's like, what is happening for me? But the short version is like, the bones of the building are still there, but there was extreme flooding and extreme negligence. So I'm on the ground floor.
Okay.
And my ceiling fell in.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine what the top floor
How many
is
floors,
like.
By the way?
Only two.
Okay.
Only two. But I'm on the ground floor.
Gosh.
And my living room ceiling, I have photos, literally, I came home and it was on the ground.
It's like a literal demolition
oh,
right
it's,
about now.
It's an unbelievable situation.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, wow. I hope it doesn't happen to anyone listening.
Well, happy holidays, man. It's just like, gee, what do you want for the holidays, Allison?
A house. A home. Literally anywhere. What do I want for the holidays? All of my stuff might be ruined. So, like, gosh, I might start a registry. You know, it's my time for a registry.
Right.
I'm going to pull a Carrie Bradshaw.
See, this is one of the reasons why when landlords neglect their own buildings and think that they can just be these slumlord sort of situations,
yes.
that when the shit really hits the fan, now you're going to be paying big time out of your
ass. Yeah, I mean, it's wild. It's really wild. And, you know, it's the heart of Santa Monica. And actually, while we were dealing with this, and now I'm meeting a bunch of the other tenants that I hadn't met before. One of them had just moved in December 1st.
Oh, my God.
It's a wild story, but, you know, I have my health.
Yeah.
Which I do sincerely mean.
Okay.
Because that is the part that matters, you know.
All right.
I don't know that I have my sanity right now.
Yeah, well, you don't need your sanity.
That was always questionable.
Isn't that a part of comedy, though? You got to have something
exactly.
to actually work with for the future,
exactly.
right?
I have a lot more material now, I think. Not yet, but I think in 6 months.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
It might be a fun.
The house is tumbling down. That's going to be a new subject for you.
It's tumbled. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
How are you? Do you have a home?
I got a home.
Just
you know,
rub it in,
yeah,
Chris.
Well.
Rub it in. Okay. Yeah.
I got a home for now.
That's
you know, because
cool.
now
That's
I'm looking
cool.
over my head the whole time
you
after
never
this story.
Know.
Yeah.
You never know. I was rock climbing, came home, no home. You know?
Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
now the rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just shocking to me. I can't even imagine the people who are out of town when this happened, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
So that's the scary
that's
part.
It's really awful because I did manage to get some of my stuff out, but yeah, there's
yeah.
some... I don't know specifics yet, but there's got to be someone who left...
Who left early.
December 18th, December
right.
19th for Christmas.
I'm going to Europe to have a European vacation,
yep.
and then they'll be back on after the first of the year, and guess
yep.
what happens?
And 100% of their stuff
mm-hmm.
is... ruined because there's also rumors of asbestos. So if you didn't get your stuff out quickly, it's not safe. So,
okay.
I mean, there are people that have to start over from scratch. And the point of this podcast today is get your renter's insurance, people.
Yeah.
If you don't
mm-hmm.
have renter's insurance, I'm dead serious. Fuck dating. Get your renter's insurance. Like, that is the most important
thing
you can do
for yourself.
I think that
trumps dating
right there. You
definitely
know?
Trumps dating 1,000%. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Because it's the ultimate breakup when
yeah.
your home leaves you and you need insurance.
Okay.
Dating should come with insurance.
Well, this
that
is
would
true.
Be great.
They, I think
know?
They need dating insurance because all
yes.
of a sudden it's like some people actually might want their money back too. Okay, let's talk about that. How many people have
yes.
a bad date? You know, I just want my money back. Where's my refund?
Or that hoodie. You know, I know that's a big thing for the men. You should have dating insurance.
Dating insurance 1,000%.
This is actually a great business idea. You just pay like $5 a month, but then when you have a horrible breakup, you get paid out in some way. The more horrible the breakup, the more you get
yes,
paid out.
Because something's being left behind, as we all know. Like for myself, when I break up with someone, I leave everything behind and I start with zero. It's
yes.
like, so I need that insurance.
Yeah,
burn
to the ground. You know, what if you don't want to, you know, ever see them again? You just leave your stuff, you know? Yeah.
Collateral damage.
It's
not even collateral damage.
I'm trying to brainstorm titles now. Like what do we call this insurance? But I think there's a huge market.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's call it, maybe call it collateral damage. Collateral dating. How about that?
I'm going to think
dating
about
dating.
It and come back with a great okay. title, to be
all
honest.
Right.
It's got to be really punny, and we're going to get there.
Well,
yeah.
okay, so let's segue to that then, because
yeah.
you have really great ideas with great names and stuff, and so I want to segue off of that note, because you've came up with an amazing show, by
Thank
the way.
You.
That, it's a stage show that I... When I saw it, and by the way, just now that I'm a Talkify as one of the only male dating coach for Talkify, which I pride myself in, it's one of those things where they sent out this Evite thing of just things going on in LA, and I was just like, Eventbrite, and I was just like, oh my God, what is this? And I read it, and
oh.
I go, I fell in love with it right away.
Oh. Wait, you got an Eventbrite email about it?
Of an Eventbrite, things going on in LA.
And it probably tailors it to you because you're interested in dating.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I'm
so,
glad to know I'm getting in the emails.
Yeah,
you know?
And
yeah.
that's how it was. And literally,
yeah.
and that's how I found you. So I looked, I go, oh my God. So let's talk about your show, Love Isn't
yeah,
Blind
yeah.
to Stage. So how did you come with the idea? And it's just been doing fantastic. And it seems amazing.
Thank you. It's truly so much fun to do. It's a total blast. It's called Love Isn't Blind.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually saw a bit of a spin-off version, but the crux of it is that it's a dating show where the men can't speak. And I joke because sometimes men should be seen, but not men. But you actually saw a queer one. So a small sidebar that a lot of audience members started requesting other versions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, if you want it, I'm happy to. So now I am doing queer versions. But the show generally is the dating show where the men can't speak. And there, you know, of course, as always, there's like a short, medium, and long version for why I created it. But I would say two things. First of all, I have created a lot of shows in my career. That's what I have been doing for many, many years. And so post-pandemic, it was this very weird time where I hadn't created a show in a long time because we were quarantined.
Yeah,
shut down. Could not create shows in a live theater. And so it was interesting to realize that I had a lot of fear around it, which
okay.
was just such a mind fuck, for lack of a better word, because it was this thing that I'd always done. And so actually I walked into The Crow for an open mic, and you've also performed at The Crow. And
mm-hmm.
I walked in and I decided, I'm going to rent this theater. I'm just going to rent it. I'm going to rent it right now. And then I will have to create a show. And
that's exactly what I did, by the way.
Yeah. I always joke, I'm a big advocate of creating your own deadlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to do it. And post-pandemic, I wanted to create something rowdy and interactive where people would meet each other. Because dating or not, I think people are really hungry for human interaction and they're really hungry to meet each other. And something that I'm really proud of, although the singles in my audience might not agree with this, but I'm really proud of how many people in relationships come to the show and come back. And as you know, because you saw it, the people in relationships have a role. I tell them they have a responsibility to wing people, the single people. And I love how many people come back. And when you buy a ticket, it says if you're single and ready to mingle, leave a fun fact about yourself. And I use those in the show. And I now have people in relationships writing, not single, but ready to wing person, because they've been before, they know the drill.
Of course, yeah.
So that was one part. And I love how many just like friendships are coming out of the show. Like there are contestants from different shows who ends up meeting each other because they'll come back in the audience. And, like, I've had men who do the show, they come back to watch the next one, and then when a guy gets eliminated, they, like, approach him, and they're like, hey, man, I got eliminated, too. It's, like, very cute. And now they're besties. So I'm loving that. And then separately, of course, there's also the story of my friends and I always complain that men don't ask questions on dates. They just talk about themselves and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And I thought, what if they stop talking?
I love that. Yeah. Well, I mean, but what's the saying? Like, you know, what a lot of women say, it's like, oh, no, he's cute as long as he doesn't say anything too stupid. You know what I mean? So it's like a lot of shit comes out of guys' mouths. And that's one of the things that I pride myself in with what I do. It's like, I try to teach guys. It's like, look, it's like, learn to listen. You know, like, you know, when you're ask the questions, listen, and then obviously the reciprocation's fine, but don't overindulge on stuff that no one wants to hear. Just kind of turn your attention to the woman and just let them just be a good listener for once, you know?
Yeah.
Keep all your ego shit out of the way. Just listen. Yeah. So I love the process of that.
Yeah. But I would add, ask questions, you know?
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if they're just, sometimes I think men are just expecting us to just reveal things. And it's like, you do have to ask. But and actually to your point about listening, you saw a queer version of the show, but in the straight version, the final round, we hear the men's voices. And generally the joke I make is final round. All we're doing is testing the straight men's listening skills. All they have to do is ask the bachelorette a question based on something they learned about her throughout the show.
This evening, yeah. Okay, so how many people how are the guys at that point? Are they in tune at that point? Are they really listening?
A lot of the men do bomb in that section, and which, you know, the audience is like, ooh, you know.
They glaze, you know, all guys glaze.
Yeah,
it's that thing that they glaze.
I have to say on the men's behalf, something I love about the show, too, is it's not performers. These are real guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing about it is I joke about the men not speaking and men need to listen. But the men who apply to do this show are great men. They're men who are here for the feminist joke. They're
great.
Here for the shenanigans.
Yeah, so they know what they're getting into.
Yes, the men who do the show are wonderful men. And we can talk later about like my intake process and the men that I don't have do the show. But I will say on the men's behalf, that round, I'm starting to think, like, maybe it isn't totally fair, because I also think they're just really nervous. Like, they're not used to being on stage.
Of course,
and suddenly I've sprung on them that they have to ask her a question. I mean, I think it's simple. They just ask her anything based on what they learned about her. But, you know, they are really nervous and they're not
necessarily
being on
stage. Okay, well, here's a question then of them being nervous then.
Yeah.
So when you're vetting the guys that come up on stage, are there questions? How is their dating history? Like, you know, for most of these guys, you feel like a lot of them are just like, you know, I haven't dated in a while. Some are like, you know, they're like a ladies man, or is it just a whole combination of the gamut of just, you know, I need this kind of guy, I need that kind of person just to make it interesting. Because if they're all just like guys who just really don't date, then they're all, that nervousness also is going to come across as just like, they don't know what to do anyways.
Yeah. I will say that a lot of the men in that final round where they have to ask a question, they knock it out of the fucking park and they ask like really thoughtful questions.
Oh, that's great.
And you hear the women in the audience be like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? So a lot of the men ask beautifully thoughtful questions as well.
Okay,
but,
good.
You know, I've started to notice the men who kind of freak out at that part. I'm like, they really just might be nervous because they're not performers. So I'm thinking about how to maybe I'm always thinking like, how do I make tweaks and restructure things? But in terms of who applies, it is difficult. Like, people think I'm inundated with applications, but I'm not. So listeners, please apply. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think, first of all, I post a lot of clips on social media. And so people are scared. They're like,
they're going to be seen.
I work at Google. I don't want you putting sex stuff about me on the internet. And I actually don't post anything without consent. So my email... your producer, Connor Linneruth, does all the filming and editing for my show. He's incredible. He's the only person who's been with me since this very first show. But we text drafts to every single contestant beforehand. So I'm having some issues on my end about communicating that I actually care about your privacy and consent and all of that. But, you know, a lot of people are scared because it is a comedy show. But I'm getting men who are really tired, to answer your actual question,
that's okay.
I'm getting men who are really tired of swiping, and They are up for shenanigans.
Okay,
I kind of joke / it's real that my best contestants tend to be guys who work in tech or advertising. They have a real job, but they've taken improv for fun, right?
Okay, yeah. They have some idea of what they're getting to do, and they've been on stage possibly a little bit. But,
yes.
Okay, so it
yes.
all fits into the range of who your contestant is, which
yes.
stage show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I joke, you know, we love a man who does improv but doesn't do improv, you know. And so a lot of men, you know, they're taking it for fun. They're up for shenanigans. And again, I think everyone's tired of swiping. I was actually listening to an episode it was the one with the CEO of Talkify about how you think matchmaking will have a renaissance because people are so tired of swiping.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to that. People just don't want to swipe anymore. And then the other difficult part for me on my ends is, like, I do want to take into account diversity, personality types,
okay.
right? So I've had some really introverted men apply who actually say, hey, this show looks great because I'm not going to stick my foot in my mouth and say something silly and I'm nervous to talk on stage or whatever. But I don't want to necessarily have two introverted types on stage. There's just so many factors that people don't realize. So actually,
matching for the Bachelorette that you might
yes,
have there as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So
know,
I have to revise
my
earlier mm-hmm. statement, which is that, like, I do have a lot of applications, but it's really tough to find ones where it's like, okay, you're in the right age range. You actually seem like you have some things in common with this
yeah.
Bachelorette. You look like you'll be fun on stage. And I'm taking into account diversity and things like that.
Okay.
So there's just a ton of factors that go into it. So that is a part that I'm still really trying to figure out how to streamline and make easier for myself. And I think...
Well, if you need
yeah.
any help with that, Allison, I'll help you
Oh, my
with
God.
That.
I
so
need
that's
so
the thing that I can suss out pretty quickly.
Reaching
no.
the
yeah.
men. Reaching
no.
women is much easier.
Right.
Do you want four men to compete for you? Like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I need to reach more good men. And
Which is always
yeah.
very difficult. Because, I mean, even
yeah.
putting together mixers or like, you know, like little dating, whatever you're doing, it's like the common through line with a lot of people who are doing mixers and things like you're doing, it's like, we're the guys. You know, we can always
yeah.
get a lot of women together, but it's the guys that are very tough to find because it's like you have to find that perfect age range. Or if they're
yeah.
even like age, like even if those guys, if they date the age appropriate type women as well, that's
right.
another thing as well.
Right.
So when you get into the older bracket,
yeah.
it's like you now you're really have a very few to pick from.
Right, right. And I also get a lot of older men being like, oh, you know, 28's in my age range. And I'm like, bro, you're not in hers. You know what I mean?
Thank
it's
you
just
very
like,
much,
yeah,
right?
no,
yeah,
it's been wild. I tell people exactly what I think. So,
yeah.
you know, I mean, yeah, I can talk all day about the types of things that the men tell me and women. It's actually been nice. For me, it's kind of leveled the playing field where I'm seeing things that the men are doing wrong and I'm seeing things the women are doing wrong.
Good.
And so
well,
it's like, oh, okay.
You're
okay.
getting a good mix, but this is why the show is successful, I feel like, because it's
yeah.
like you're putting your spin on it. And what I love about when you're up on stage, that I've seen of you, it's like, you just like, you can just go with the flow. Like you're just like, just kind of just running this thing like seamlessly.
Thank
like,
you.
Like seamlessly.
My favorite thing to do.
Yeah. It's just like when we were watching, I was like, it's so easy for you up there, you know, because it's like, obviously you're showing you've done enough of it right now to, in order to figure out how to make it run. But if you're Bachelorette or the Bachelor, if they're kind of more of like, not say introvert, but they're just not giving enough.
Yeah.
You can really jump in there and put that extra stuff on them, which I love.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. And the show is more fun if we believe a real match could be made, right? So, and I think of that from, I'm really a theater dork at heart, and it's like, the show is better if there are stakes, right? So my favorite moments are when we realize actually that some of these contestants have something in common.
That's
really
great.
Could. So it's tough because I'm not a matchmaker, but the show is better when I can make real matches.
Yep.
And yeah, and you can feel it. Like something that happened really, in one of the early shows is we had a bachelorette and she's this like beautiful, amazing bassoonist, but she revealed that she secretly sees herself as a dork and she loves anime. And then later, you know, in one of the rounds, I searched the guy's phones and all this anime, I was searching his YouTube watch history,
okay,
and all this anime popped up and the audience like screamed, right? Cause they're realizing that they have so much in common. And also like, I think it came out also that he plays music and she's a bassoonist, you know, and the audience, you can feel it. Oh, I also did a queer show where the tension between the Bachelorette and the Ultimate Winner was so intense, like the whole room could feel.
Oh, that's great.
Like their chemistry was so crazy. At one point I was like, am I gay? Like, what is happening? But it's so fun for the audience. Like,
yes,
at one
it is.
Point,
yeah.
they just stood up and started walking towards each other. And
that's
I was like,
amazing.
We're not at, the show's not over.
Okay, but they did choose each other, right?
Ultimately, she chose
okay.
her. And she told me after, she's like, the second, so the Bachelorette chose this hot older lesbian. And she was like, the second she came on stage, I knew it was her. And it was
oh,
just a process of
great.
In what
yeah.
order to
right.
eliminate the others. But the audience can feel it, you know. And then at the after party, they made out at the bar and everybody went wild. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a more fun show when I can make real matches, but then it makes my job so hard on the other end because I'm a comedian, not a matchmaker.
Yeah, but you do it well. And like I said, I appreciate the fact that you've actually, the way that you do the structure of the show, especially with the after party after, that's allowing everyone else in the audience now to interact with whomever they want to, social settings. Once again, like you said, how you started this whole thing was just to get the people back in the social environment again. You know, people meeting each other, people talking. And you're doing that.
I actually announced this at your show because I found out that day. Mm-hmm. But there's two people who met in the audience 1 year ago at my show, and they are engaged.
That's incredible.
It's crazy.
Kudos to that.
It's
See,
crazy.
Your work and run is there, Allison.
They owe me a fucking testimonial video.
Yeah, do you ask for many of those, by the way?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Keep it going.
They don't give them to me.
Well, you know,
I look directly into one of the cameras pointed at us. They know, if this clip goes online, this couple knows who they are. They both follow me. You owe me a testimonial video.
And how hard is that, guys? I mean, come on. Look,
30 seconds.
You got her at the show. That's a
30
simple
seconds.
Plug.
You met the audience.
Simple plug.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be plugging your show all day long.
All day long.
All
they need to get matching tattoos. We met at Love Isn't Blind.
All right. So, by the way, Love Isn't Blind now, it's travels. It's here it's going to San Francisco. You're probably taking to New York. Okay. And so this is great, though. So how do you feel like you're going to get the audience to go to those shows? How's that coming for you right now in order to travel with this?
Oh, well, knock on wood, it's been easy so far. But I feel like the second I say that publicly, marketing is going to become a disaster. But we've gone to Seattle. I say we because your producer, Connor, is also my videographer. He's my boy.
Love you, Connor.
We took it to Seattle, and I don't know. When I go to other cities, I start small, 100 seats, but I really didn't have to do much. I think that the social media is selling the show, and now because I'm traveling with it infrequently, I think when people hear that it's going to their city, it sells.
That's perfect.
I think, we'll see how it goes when I keep going back.
Regardless, though, Allison, you just said, it's word of mouth and things like that. Like, I was impressed with the amount of people that influx to the show. I was like, wow. And my thought process was like, how the hell does she do this? It's like, but it's organically done because it's a good show. That's
Thank
all that
you.
It means. It's a good show.
Something that's cool is, the number of people who tell me, my friend came last month and told me I had to go. Because in LA, it's monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of people are just like, my friend went last month that I had to go. But also people are finding out about it through social media. Again, thanks to Connor, who cuts my clips. So people are also, I think social media and word of mouth. Social media is so interesting because I think people develop a parasocial relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where
they
think that they know it or they feel like they've seen it. So those are really the two main avenues.
And don't forget that they can relate to it. That's the main thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because how many people are actually, if they're seeing this and taking the time to look at clips, they're single, or they're interested, or they like the concept, all the above.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
I want to give a shout out to my sponsor who's literally saved my life this winter, and that goes out to Factor. Factor, as you guys know, is a ready-to-eat meal service that makes eating better every day and easy. I mean, I just don't have the time around this time of the year to go to the store, especially when it's cold outside after a long day of work. I just want to go home and hibernate, and the last thing I want to do is to cook something. So with Factor, you get a 2-minute meal, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. I mean, think about this, guys. You get snacks, smoothies, and more, whatever you like from this company, and it's delivered directly to your home. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for a fast upscale option done easily, and you have so many choices to choose from: calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. And for me, I just like to do it all. And when I go to my fridge and get that meal out, I know exactly what I'm in for, and it's going to be great tasting every time. So there's no prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, like I said before, and there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So if you want to learn more about them, head to factormeals.com/dating50 and use code dating50 and get 50% off your first box. And take this time to really check out Factor. And once again, go to factormeals.com/dating50 and use code dating50 to get 50% off.
I don't know. I love doing it. I hope it just keeps growing, but it's a fun time. And it's different every time because the men are different.
Yeah.
And in 2024, I really want to play more with new rounds and new shenanigans and things like that. And I do crowd work too. So one of my favorite moments ever is this guy ended up eating a pie in the audience with his bare hands in under a minute. I mean, it was completely insane, right? I mean, people were losing their minds, and those are moments you just can't ever recreate.
Right.
They're never going to happen again, And so people left that show and I saw like tickets immediately after the show, right? Like after that show, it's like people just left and bought tickets to the next
Yeah,
one.
I've been plugging it like a ton. Like I said, you have to go see the show.
Thank
so.
You. Yes, bring me all your men.
Trust me. Once this influx on my dating intelligence up, that's the whole point of this as well.
Thank you.
So.
I will take great care of you men, I promise.
Well, speaking of men, now I've thrown that subject, how's your dating life going?
Oh.
And has there been any of these guys that you might have seen on the stage that are like, you know what, this might be a little potential for me, as you giggle and laugh?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I dated one contestant briefly. I should say, like, you know, this is not, like people joke, like, look at this pipeline for yourself. I'm like, that's not why I fucking created the show. You know, I enjoy being the puppet master, not the puppet. But, some of the guys have asked me out, but, like, I don't know. It's not really, yeah, and sometimes, like, they don't realize that I'm older than them. And
right. Well, you know what?
So, you know, it's, yeah. But also, I get just to put it in some perspective, I've done the show probably 20, 25 times now, so we're looking at, like, 100 men, and I think I've gone on dates with, like, 3 of them. So it's very small.
Well, outside of that,
I don't want people to think that, like, I don't mind you asking, but I don't want people to think that, like, that's what I'm doing the show.
No, that's why I wanted to outside of the show, though, basically.
But have I made
like,
out with some of them? Yeah.
Well, I mean, hello, if you have the opportunity, you might as well. Yeah. It's your show. You can do what you want.
Yeah, I also think a lot of men are scared of me after the show, because, like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, like, I'm kind of on fire on
no,
stage.
No, you are
I'll
on
say
fire.
Anything,
and that's
like,
the beauty of it. Now, but it eliminates the type of guys that can handle you, though. And so they're like, oh, yeah, I kind of like that. You know, I think I can be with this.
Yeah, I think you're scared, though. It's fascinating. I had one guy call out while I was on stage, are you single? And I was like, see me after the show. He never did. You know what I mean? They're scared.
So then what are you looking for then for yourself? I know you're really, really busy with like everything kind of going on right now. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's like the least your worries right now is having a guy. But, but you know, in the meantime, are you always on the lookout for yourself as well and doing your work in other
Yeah, I'm looking for a man with a home.
That's a good start.
If you have a house, that is hot.
Yeah.
You know?
Guys, you might even take
a
couch
room,
on now.
You know?
Just have something.
You have a studio apartment. I am in. No, I want someone smart and funny who I am attracted to. That is what I want. Who's very nice and emotionally available.
This seems to be easy, but sometimes
it's
not
so
that
hard.
Easy.
A lot of people seem that way, and then like you know, they disappear for days, and you're like, "What's going on here?" You know?
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so. All right, guys. So we have Alison Goldberg on the show, and she's got this amazing show called Love Isn't Blind, and she's on stage all the time, comedian, writer, just doing amazing stuff. And so I'm going to segue now into something that she just ended up on. But
I wanted to say for your listeners before we segue that you know, if you do apply to the show, I do take care of the men, and you know, there's a lot of things that I think scare the men, right? Like I search their phones and stuff like that. But I do tell them in advance, like if there's anything you don't want me to touch, I'm not going to fucking touch it.
Right.
So like. There's a lot of that.
I love the fact that you go on their phones, though. Because I feel like you know what? It's like they're just giving up their privacy.
And the thing is, like, I gauge, you know, I have a Zoom with each of the men before they apply through my website, and then I Zoom with all of them beforehand, and I try to gauge their personality, right? Because some of them you can tell, and some of them say to me, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. One guy said to me, if you have to sabotage me for the joke, sabotage me. And I was like, I'm not going to, but we're going to be good friends.
Yeah,
and we are now.
Good
you know?
Know.
So I try to gauge what they're comfortable with. Recently, I had a guy say, you're going to want to search my Amazon history because I just planned a bachelor party. And I was like, noted, right? And then I searched it on stage and it's like dildo, 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 12 Hawaiian shirts. You know? So I was like, thank you for this gift. So, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of people are like, oh, is it a roast show? Like, my job is to make everyone look amazing and for everyone to have a great time.
Yeah.
And everyone, the audience has a better time if you do a great job. If you go on my show and you knock it out of the fucking park, the audience goes wild and you feel great.
Right.
So, like, it's not in my interests
to sabotage.
Humiliate
exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, to put all their dirty laundry out there where it's going to make them, not even after the show, if they get off with first contestant off.
Yeah.
Now they're looking like, I don't want to talk to that guy.
Yeah. You know? I want people to, and people, the contestants are getting dates from the audience. A lot of the guys tell me it's actually great to be, that the dream spot is runner up because you do all the shenanigans.
Yes.
And then
yeah,
you can go.
Right.
Because
they know a little bit more about
audience.
Him as well. That's why.
Yeah,
I love that spot.
Because when people are, as you know, in the audience, you get a wristband based on your relationship status. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, just that little plug that if you do apply and you're selected, I will take great care of you.
All right, guys, you heard it. You got to put your stuff out there and take a chance. I mean, like you said, it's like, what can it possibly hurt? It's like the odds of Bobby getting on the show. Who cares? But just just try, like, once again. It's like, it's a great show.
Yeah.
But check it out for sure. But like I said, we're going to continue to, like, the show is still a part of this, but we're going to segue into the fact that I know that you said some of the guys you've been, like, talked to, they just end up just disappearing, right?
Mm,
so
yeah.
Our episode for the day is called Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. You know, that's our episode.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how many times have you thought about breaking up with someone, but always find yourself struggling to end that relationship? And so there's different ways how people break up. I know you have something coming out in the future about, you know, texting and things like that. So guys, what we're going to talk about right now is breaking up, you know, and there's people break up in all sorts of weird sort of ways, but we're also going to talk about the right way to actually go through the process. So, like I know, like people, you know, texting, ghosting, you know, just probably having a friend tell you, hey, you know what, they're not dating you anymore. So just all these
that
weird
feels
ways.
That's so middle school. That was the last time I did that. Yeah.
We are in L.A.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
You know, so a lot of middle school guys here, sort of thing.
Wow.
So what do you think about that? You know, about breaking up.
If the friend breaks up with you, can you date the friend? Or, but maybe that's not a good egg either for him to be the one that's like, sure, I'll break up with your girlfriend for you. Anyway,
That's a tough position to be in.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to date the girl and trying to be the hero. You know, think about it. So, you know, I didn't like her anyways. Dude, you break up her for me. Are you sure about that? I mean, remember the movie Love Actually? Like,
oh,
you talked
a toxic
about,
movie.
You know, like,
absolutely
at the end of that with the whole life stuff. I mean, what was that about, by the way? You know?
I just think it's wild that movie is supposed to be, like, the pinnacle of, like, beauty and romance and love. And I think I never watched it as a kid. So I watched it for the first time, like, 2 years ago. And I was like, this is trash.
Yeah.
These are all... The almost, it's like three of the 5 to 7 relationships are
failures.
Older men
mm-hmm.
in very questionable relationships with women half their age. It's like the prime minister and his intern. Then there's, what is it, Colin Firth? Why am I blanking on names?
Yeah,
he's
him.
Dating like his assistant who's half his age who doesn't speak his language at
that's
all.
That's
right. To think that's romantic.
Yeah.
That they cannot communicate. Like,
right. Right.
They communicate through expressions. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Even though I run a show where they can't speak. So,
I mean, was the sexual tension there for that even to happen? If there's a sexual tension spoken without words, that I can agree with. Because,
right,
you know,
but then fuck it out. But you don't
exactly,
need to
right, right. So, but there was none of that on there either, though.
Yeah.
But even like the last scene, I mean, what is that? Your best friend's coming to you telling his wife now.
Oh my gosh, so messed up. Yeah, it's supposed to be romantic, that note card scene. But you knock on your best friend's door and say, lie to my best friend / your husband, because I'm professing my love to you.
I feel like I'm looking for, what's his name, John Cusack to come with the stereo at the end of that scene. That was a better play. At least do that and have the song do
anything,
it.
Anything.
Right.
Would be better.
But where do you go from there? I mean, where does that guy go from there? You just walk away just like,
that's
well,
what he does.
At least I said
my piece. And then the creepy wedding video where they finally watch the wedding video and it's just close-ups of her.
Yeah, that is creepy.
Like, bro, you need a restraining order.
Totally. Yep. So that, she should have creeped out
therapy.
On that.
Not
even go to the door.
Cute. It's not cute. Anyway, what was your question?
No, that was the question.
How
to break up. So, you know, so, all right, guys. So I'm going to go give you a couple of tips on, you know, should you break, like, let's say, should you break up or work it out? That's another thing as well. Sometimes I feel like people jump the gun on a breakup.
Yeah.
You know, I know I probably maybe have done that once. I'm like, we're broken up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
yeah.
like, and I walk away and I go, wait a minute, did I just do that? It's like, and then you go groveling back.
Uh-huh.
And then the girl's like, I thought we were broken up.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, I kind of left my stuff here. So how do we get back?
Yeah.
Something.
Well, you can leave your stuff there as long as you have our dating insurance that I don't know what it's called, but
Don't do it insurance. How about that?
Don't do it
insurance. So that's the first and foremost. Like if you're not in the right relationship, just don't do it. That should be the insurance.
But to not do the relationship if it's not
exactly because remember once again it's almost like a money back guarantee sort of thing. So that's the way I see it.
No, I mean, I have so many thoughts on, you know, I mean, 50% of marriages don't work out. And I'm always curious how many of those, like, did you know walking down the aisle that this was, like, not a good idea?
Yeah. And most of them actually probably after the fact, they say,
that's what
my girlfriend said, by the way. She actually, when she got married, she literally said, you know, she goes, I knew walking down the aisle that this was not the person for me.
Yeah.
And a year later, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that it's like, we hear stories about this all the time.
Yeah.
It's like the same reason on, like, you know, before they go down the aisle, like, I don't know about this. And you're clearly looking at them going, why are you doing this? This is not the person for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I've spoken to a lot of women that have said, you know, it just seemed like it was the next thing we were supposed to do. They're just like on the track and you know, people talk about cold feet, like, so they convince themselves that it's like acceptable that they have all these massive doubts. But
right. But I think the shiny object of getting the wedding together, like the planning, all that stuff kind of clouds all that. So it becomes a fantasy, which keeps it, like you said, it keeps people at that fantasy barrier. When all of a sudden all that's done, it's like, shit, did I just do this?
Oh, yeah. can't even imagine.
And I can't even imagine the guys, you know, in that sense, though. The guys just probably just go along because, like, if I say anything, I'm going to get shot, you know. Basically, you know.
Maybe, but if you feel that way, you definitely shouldn't be dating. You should date someone where you feel like you can talk, you
right.
know.
And that's the thing. And so, like, so let's...
Again, even though I ran a dating show where the men can't speak, but yeah.
But that's the whole process I want to talk about, you know, about breaking up is hard to do, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, like there's just all these unspoken words sometimes on how people are in a relationship and they don't really know how to go about either staying in a relationship or getting out of the relationship. You know, sometimes I feel like it's run its course. You know, you can actually see it's run its course. It's like, well, why are they together? But then sometimes I feel like people who do break up for, you know, the wrong reasons as well, sometimes, whether they're either jealous, they're getting the wrong, or they're just not asking the right questions, you know, in order to like work something out. They're just going, or some people just are just too insecure. So like, I'd rather just break up now before he breaks up with me or she breaks up with me.
Yeah.
So there's all these weird sort of situations going on all the time. It's just endless ways of doing it. But,
I mean, my main thing is just that people need to be doing it with empathy. So I have a show coming out, February 14th called How to Break Up by Text. It's going to be on a major audio platform that for some reason I'm not supposed to say out loud, but you have it on your phone. So anyway, but it's called How to Break Up by Text. It's based on a live show I used to do. So a show that I used to do before the pandemic is I would take audience members' phones live on stage and perform their breakup texts with a guest comedian.
Okay.
And it was wild. The show's called How to Break Up by Text, and it was fascinating how many people bought a ticket not knowing what was going to happen, but they have their screenshots ready because it's this event that we don't have closure, we don't have catharsis, and so people were they were so ready. They'd be like, well, I had sex with him 3 times and then this happened and that, and in front of a room of strangers. It was wild. So anyway, it was bought and turned into an audio version, and that's coming out in February. And for that format, celebrities perform your breakup text.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
that's
then
great.
An expert joins and we break down your breakup. And the main thing I think is, just first of all, breakup texts are funny because they're these accidental scripts. Like, again, from a theater dork perspective, we have a script that is not meant to be said out loud. What happens when you say it out loud? And of course, nobody wants to write too much, then you look psycho, or, you know, people putting emojis, all caps, spelling errors. Like, it's really wild. But the fact is, like, a lot of people, I'm seeing long-term relationships end by text, and it's just like, the only time anyone should ever break up by text is if it's like, you've been on
never.
A date or
it should
two.
Never break up.
Well,
I
think if it's like, you've just been on a date or two, you're not really dating. It's almost like a letting them know, like, hey, I'm really not feeling this, so that it's an alternative to ghosting, right?
Okay.
I think instead of ghosting, do a breakup text. But otherwise, I think like technology allows us to take the easy road out on a lot of things. And I don't think the easy road is necessarily the right road just because it's easier. So I think texting is fine if it's, again, like 2 dates in or something. I mean, the fact
that's acceptable.
Yeah,
that's
acceptable.
You know, hey, it just didn't work out because you're new. It's still, I agree.
I think ghosting is kind of weird at this point. Also, especially like if you have mutual friends and stuff like that, it's like, why are you doing this? Like, we could just, I don't know. I also make so many exes my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, you don't need to ghost me. Like, we could transition this into friendship just fine, you know?
Yeah,
unless you did something really fucked up.
Okay, but are they open to that, though? That's the thing, though. You
some
know,
of them
because,
are,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, some of them aren't. Yeah,
right.
That's fine, too.
Yeah. I just think that is just like, once again, like, the texting, that I agree with there, but it's the ghosting, things like that, no. Opening communication, I feel like I always tell people, regardless, so you just got to have a face-to-face with the person to do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't do it in a public space, though, by the way.
Yeah.
Make sure it's in the confines of just, like, somewhere where it's quiet. You both can hear each other. Not going to be in a public space where it's too loud or the person's going to get too emotional, you know, because now you're just setting them up. So,
There was one, this went viral many years ago, but there was a guy who asked his wife for a divorce on the subway. He was typing an email.
Okay.
And like, this went viral because there was this whole discussion about how some woman is about to receive an email asking for a divorce, and at the end it's going to say, sent from my iPhone. And it's just like, you know when you're taking the easy way out and it's not necessarily the right way. So it's just like, people are just lying to themselves when they break up kind of like the wrong way. Like, you know, you owe some level of empathy to the other person.
Right.
Like,
but
unless it's toxic, then fucking
for sure,
block them, do whatever you need
to
do.
No, they just
like
get out as fast as
it's
possible.
It's actually abusive.
Yeah, like, you know, like, I left the key on the mat and I'm out. You know, that all day long I agree with, though, for sure. But how do you feel like that sets the person up for the next one then? Think about that. If someone like you said like that, it's like, what does that show to now I'm dating this person who like sent an email to like to get a divorce and you can even like go face to face with that?
Yeah.
Unless she's just like, you know, batshit crazy or something. That I understand as well.
Yeah.
But at least get your lawyers involved at this point or whatever it may be.
Yeah, well, Dan Savage has the campsite rule, which I love, which is basically leave it better than you found it, right? So, and I think that's great, right? Because we are fucking each other up in the head. And it's funny because when it happens to us, we're like, this is the worst thing. That's, how could they do this? And then we turn around and we do the same thing to someone else, right? So
right.
Like, we're fucking each other up in the head. Stop fucking each other in the head. That's not what we're supposed to. Actually,
no.
Some people like fucking in the head. But that's, you know what I'm saying? That's like a different orifice. Anyway, so I just think we should be better. Although, you know, I say this stuff live and, you know, there's some guy that's going to be in the comments being like, she fucking ghosted me. And I'm going to, all right.
Of course. Yeah, of course. And then he's like, and then I go to the next role anyway. It's like,
yeah,
okay, Steve,
know.
There you go.
I have guilty of the accidental ghost where I'm like, man, I really owe this person a text. And then I'm like, whoa, 4 days have gone by. You know what I mean? So like, we all.
They're not going to want to hear from me anymore anyway.
Yeah,
so pretty,
you know. But I just think we need to be treating each other better. I've actually, at this point in my life, I force men to have conversations with me. And it's very helpful.
Wait, what do you mean? Go ahead, explain
like
about
there was
that.
This one guy where, wow, I mean, it's a doozy of a story. He had so, I mean, how much of the story should I tell? Basically, he told me, I'm trying to make it short, but he basically, I wasn't allowed to sleep in.
Okay.
Because he got really weird, and I was like, do you not trust me? Because he had to leave in the morning. And so I was like, do you not trust me alone in your home?
So he didn't want you there. Basically, bottom line.
No. Well, so I said, do not trust me in your home. That something was weird. And he goes, we don't know each other well enough yet. And I was like, that's fucking nuts. I didn't say that, but
okay.
I was like, first of all, if you're comfortable inside of my body, you should be comfortable
right.
with me inside of your house, asleep on a Saturday morning. Full stop. You
right.
know? And also, like, sidebar, I have mega insomnia. I don't drink alcohol because of my insomnia. Like,
okay.
He knows that I have an insomnia issue and he was going to fucking nudge me awake. And then, of course, and so I'm just, like, completely taken aback. And he clearly wanted me gone immediately. And I was like, I sat down at his kitchen table and I was like, hey, we're going to have a conversation about this. And I forced him to have a conversation with me. And all this stuff came up where he's like, I've been walked on before. I'm never
okay,
been walked
I
on
appreciate
now.
That.
Right?
Yeah,
and
I
so
like
he's
that.
Like, you know, the last girl walked on me. And I was, and I said to him, it's so sad that whatever the last person did to you, you're bringing right here.
Right.
Because I'm not hurt.
And missing out on an opportunity. Because what if you're like, you know, you're the one. He's missing out on all these opportunities, which
even if it's not me, like, this is how he's treating people. And he's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
And he basically is like proud that he has his guard up because he's been walked on too many times. And he's not going to be walked on again. And for me, it was incredibly helpful because I think I would have gone back and been upset about this guy for a while. I was upset for about 24 hours and then I was done.
Okay.
I was over it. And I think forcing that conversation helped me get closure where I was like, okay, you've got a lot of issues.
Yeah.
And he even said to me, I remember he said, you make me realize that I'm not the man I want to be. And I said, hey, we're well into our 30s. Like, is that something you want to work on? Because if you're telling me, hey, I really like you and I know I need to work on this, like, that's one thing. Then there's a path forward. And I said, do you want to work on this? And he said, no. so he said to me, you're making me realize I'm not the man I want to be and I don't want to feel that way. And I don't, like, but he didn't want to change. And I was
right.
like, cool, cool, cool. Also, he's a 40-year-old NASA scientist, just so we're clear.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean,
you know, it's just wild because, like, on the outside, he, like, has everything together.
Of course
and,
he does. But then once you get to the root of it, a la sleeping over, not
yeah,
letting
and
sleep
then,
in.
Yeah, and in that same conversation, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm truncating, but that conversation was an hour. You know, he starts talking about his childhood trauma, and I'm like, all right, this is not about
okay.
me.
May
you know
I ask
maybe?
how many times you guys have hung out before that moment, by the way?
So it's like 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
I actually have stand-up about how, like, 6 to 8 weeks is when a man's true colors come out. So every man puts on a good front for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
6 to 8 weeks in, something happens. I think I even made that
no, you're
joke
right,
to
you're
him.
Right about that.
Then,
there's a thing
yeah.
called 2 months, 2 months, like 2 weeks, 2 months, and then it goes on from there. Like in the second week, people start acting. You can see the true colors from that. So that's
yeah,
a cool thing.
Yeah, because before that, he's really, you know, lovely and polite. And listen, you don't know me, but like, and maybe I'm very trusting. Like
mm-hmm.
you, if I had a home, could come over right now and sleep over if
there
you need
you
to.
Go.
You know
See
what
that?
I mean?
Yeah. You know what? But Allison, I'm gonna
like,
decline on that now because your house is underwater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. Don't
I'm
come
okay
over.
With that.
But you know what I mean? It's like I just feel. I mean, of course, I'm biased because I'm me. But I'm like, you can obviously trust me in my home. In trust me in your home. Like I just, I don't know. I mean,
well, especially
six,
after
six,
eight,
six
weeks,
eight weeks,
that's,
in,
yeah.
If you don't trust
mm-hmm.
me in your home,
right.
like there's something. Big, and I, but the end of that closure conversation, I really felt sorry for him. You know, because he has some stuff to work through and he's clearly traumatized from other relationships. But like, if he's telling me he doesn't want to work through it,
yeah,
then
well,
like,
then
right.
that's the way
it
I
was,
see it. It's
it
like,
was sad.
Yeah, and he's going to be alone the rest of his life. If he does, I mean, if he's in his 40s.
Yeah, hopefully he gets it together, but, you know, because I don't think he was a bad guy.
Okay. He just didn't want to do it right then and there.
He did not want to do it.
I think you put him on the spot and called him out on the shit. He's like, damn it.
But that's why conversations are great. And, you know, he was so uncomfortable that whole conversation. But, you know, selfishly, I was like, oh, I understand now. Because before that, I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
Right. So how many times did you get, were you being nudged every time that you were over there then? In theory, though, you know what I mean? Before you finally went, wait a minute.
Yeah. So there was like a, it was 68 weeks and there was like a bunch of factors so that like my parents were visiting, but like he had visitors. So we it was the first time we'd actually hung out on a weekend.
Gotcha.
And the sleepover was a possibility.
Okay.
But like, to be clear, we were sleeping together at that point. It was just like, it was always, I don't know, it was like a weeknight. So, you know, weeknights, it makes more sense where you're like,
because you, everybody has to get up and go.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to get up and go.
But it was the first weekends and I was like, so. Can I sleep in? It was like a rhetorical question.
Did he even bring you? No, well, no, you wanted to sleep in. Yeah. I was going to say he didn't bring you coffee or anything, but I forgot you're the one who wanted to sleep in. So.
Yeah, I've had other men who, like, literally the first time I sleep over, this one guy was like, I left it. He had to go for some reason. Oh, yeah. He worked in events, so he worked on weekends. And he was like, I have to wake up in the morning. I'm leaving a key for you.
Love
had
it.
Coffee ready. Yeah. Like, and that was the first, you know, I mean, we didn't know each other that well, but frankly, that's how you should behave if you're trying to.
I agree with you, especially if you're inviting someone to your home, unless you say, look, you know what, we're doing this, but I'm not really comfortable with people spending
the night
on the first time.
If you think I'm so crazy as to do something to, the interesting thing is when I told my girlfriends that this happened, they said, what was he hiding that you couldn't be there alone? And I was like, that didn't even occur to me.
Right. But apparently it was, who knows, with that case, it's probably nothing because you talked to him. So,
but what
if you would have just left and not known anything?
Yeah.
Now
the
wheels
are spinning. If you think I'm so crazy as to search your home while you're not there, why wouldn't I be crazy enough to search your home while you're asleep? You know what I mean? Like, you're not gaining anything by kicking me out in the morning.
Right.
Also, I already told you I'm an insomniac. Like, I can do all the damage I want while you're right
there. But hold up.
Okay?
Let's be honest, though. Like, a lot of people, when you're left alone, what do? We do a little bit of snooping around, just a little bit.
I don't. I do all my snooping right in front of people. But in all seriousness, I love exploring people's apartments and learning about them. Like, someone invites me over, I immediately am like, oh, what book's on your bookshelf?
Yeah. One of my favorite.
I'm not going to the fucking medicine cabinet.
But that's one of my things.
You know?
There's a show where someone goes, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And when I'm in the bathroom, I'm going to look through your medicine cabinet.
I don't.
No, just as a joke, though. No, this is a joke on a show. They go. He goes, where's the bathroom? She goes, it's over. He goes, well, in the meantime, I'm going to go to the bathroom and then I'm going to look in your medicine cabinet. But it's like a funny joke.
Yeah,
yes, because that's what people do. I mean, I don't do
that.
I don't do that. I mean, I have no need to.
That feels weird.
Yeah, I don't do that. But this is, that's why it's a joke, the medicine cabinet. Because people like it. It's like, what pills is he on? You know, look at that.
Yeah, but also if he's on pills, that means he's doing the work, he's seeing a psychiatrist, he's getting help, he's on the pills. If he has no pills, then you should be concerned.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah,
and he's got a tick at the same time, right?
Yeah. It's just, anyway, so that's a long-winded story about me. I wonder if he'll listen to this. That'd be funny.
He needs to listen to some of this stuff.
It's all true.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people need to work their shit out. But you are right, though. There's a lot of people in the, like, that we start going off. And then one of the things I tell people, I go, we miss a lot of red flags because we give a lot of people a lot of benefit of the doubt. That's the main thing as well. So.
What I find tough is, should we? Because I think we should give people the benefit of the doubt, but then you ignore red flags. And so I'm always struggling with, like, what is that balance between, because people always say, like, especially about men, they say, believe what he tells you, right? Because men will say, like, oh, I'm a bad texter. And it's like, okay, so he's, like, probably not emotionally available. He's, like, not good at communicating. I don't know. That's a bad example. But, like, people, like, believe him. And then you want to, like, constant struggle, red flags, but I don't think
what you just said right there, like you just said, like, I'm a bad texter. I have this thing, right, where I tell a lot of women, I say, look, I go, guys, when you start dating someone, especially for guys, we have an automatic out.
Yeah.
And so when we put, like, I'm a bad texter or I work late.
Well,
or
okay,
I'm
I had
busy,
one guy who said, I read attached and I am avoidant, but I'm working on being secure.
Okay. He told
Is
you
that
this.
A red flag?
Wait, he told you this?
Yeah, he told me that.
On the first day. Okay.
First day.
Well, I think on that note.
So it's like, well, you've told me you're avoidant.
Right.
And so that's the guy I was thinking about because then, like, he disappeared for 2 days. You know what I mean? It's like, you told me you're avoidant. He's actually a friend of mine now, so I feel bad talking about him, but.
Okay, so if
he knows, though.
So, question then, if he's a friend now, was it true? Was he trying to really work on his stuff?
Yeah, I think he's working on it, but is he there? I don't know.
Okay, because that's what I wanted to know about benefit of the doubt. You know, that's something where it I feel like it depends on the energy. But also when someone gets a red flag, I feel like, you know what, when you get that the first time, if it happens again, you need to pick up the signs. Right. Everyone gets a pass the first time because you're because
first time
it's
pass,
right because
time.
It's like saying, you know, like someone saying, you know, like, well,
fool me once,
right? Exactly. But if it does this to you and you go, okay, well, let's see if that happens again, then half second, and then it's like, okay, now you need to pick up on those, pick up those flags, or I'll put it in a bucket and run. You know,
there's this TikToker, I wish I remembered his name, he's amazing. He just stitches with other people's videos where they like explain some kind of red flag, and he just stitches and he's waving a giant red flag. It's so funny. Though I ruined it. Well, he does it. It's great. When it pops up for you, please enjoy. It's a useless story. Are you enjoying this? Is everyone having fun? I have no home. Okay, what?
Yeah. So where do you go from here now that there's no home? You go to a friend's house, by the way?
Well, you know, before you hate me too, you know, or before you not hate me, before you feel sorry for me, I have a friend with an incredible, beautiful home in Venice. So I'm there for a week. And then I have another friend who's out of town through February 11th. So
it worked out.
Yeah, well, I have wonderful friends. I really do. I have incredible friends. It's very interesting, actually, to see who your friends are when something like this happens.
Of course.
Because I had a couple friends in particular where I texted them and they showed up in 5 minutes. Like,
love
one of
that.
Them was like, I'm in Santa Monica right now, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Another one lives nearby. I mean, they were there immediately. And then there are some people where I'm like, oh, I know you know what's happened, and I still haven't heard from you, and I thought we were good friends. Because I'm not even saying you have to step up and do stuff.
Right,
everybody's
just
busy. But
say
like
something.
The people who aren't even like, oh, I saw, like, I posted on Instagram like my living room ceiling on my floor.
Okay, I got to look at this. I didn't look at that.
Yeah,
also.
Well, now it's gone as my story. But you know, you can see us watching. I have someone who I thought was a good friend in particular. Where I'm like, he watched the whole story
and still said nothing.
And has said nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow. That,
so
see, that's their own guilt. It's
sad.
Like, I want to. It's like, just reach out and say, hey, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
I'm
been
sorry
a little upsetting
you.
The people who haven't. But I have amazing friends. I mean, to be honest, the number of people who heard, saw my story or whatever, and reached out and offered me their home is incredible. Like,
that's
I've probably had 20 to 30 offers in various parts of the country. But
I would have taken someone
up.
Yeah, I would have gone probably the farthest in if that's the case. Then. If you got all your stuff in order, take that farthest, like, you know, that, hey, you can use my place. What, you're in the Hamptons? What, you know
where? The thing is, I had big goals for December and getting stuff done and, you know, working on strategy, taking just like a little step back from shows over the holidays and working on stuff, and I've gotten zero work done. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I'm very lucky, which I think is also an important point for this show, which is, I think, the relationship that a lot of us don't talk about enough is friendships.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. I have incredible friends. I feel that my life is better because of them. I am, despite being single for years and years and years, I am not lonely. Like, I have a really...
You got a good support system around you.
Great life. Yeah. I mean, if I need something, like really need something, I have a ton of people that would drop and help me out. And so that has been, you know, the silver lining.
Love that.
This week.
Yeah, I can see that about you. It's like, you know, like I said, I always feel like sometimes the reason why I asked you to wanted to go back to your dating situation, it's like, you know, if you're fine right now on your own, because I know you have a lot of stuff going on, you know, and you're really busy and things like that. And sometimes your support group or your friends is enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's just enough. It's not like you're out there. Yes, you might get lonely here and there because, you know, whatever you need, I want the male companion or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But you have a great support system. You have a great group of friends around you. And that sometimes trumps everything else at the moment in time of your life right now. So.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all going to be gone when you start dating someone. You know that, right?
No.
No, I mean in a joke way. You know, in a joke way, you know, people go,
because I hate that.
You know what? Then they go, God, where did Allison go? She's got a new man. She disappeared for all. But everyone
needs
that.
Those people are dead
now.
To me. Those people are dead to me. Like, honestly, I've had friends that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a point in my life where if that's the way you treat friendship, we're not friends.
Right.
Like,
but I also think that everyone has that honeymoon phase where you need that little bit of time with that person. You put it into that person. But you also need to learn how to still
have
your individual life.
Because I have friends who have met someone and I've been worried, like, oh, are they going to be gone now? And they're not. Like, there's so many people who
and
show
that's,
me that
that's awesome,
still,
right? Because they know how to balance it out. It's a balance, you know?
Yeah,
I agree
and then
with
some
that.
Of my friends, you know, I've watched them meet amazing people and now their husbands or wives are my good friends who text me separately and we, you know what I mean? So that's no problem, but it's very interesting. I mean, the thing that's interesting about getting older and dating is, like, you're also witnessing, as we discussed, the shit. You're witnessing people get divorced, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, being single, like, I used to be sad about it and I'm not anymore because I have a great life and you witness how much the fairy tale isn't real. So I think you spend a lot of time wanting the fairy tale. Then you get to an age where you're like, the fairy tale isn't real, and actually, I'm having a great time.
I love that you said that. Because that's what I did on my Stay in Your Dating Lane show. Like I said, I told people, yeah. Sometimes the people get blinded by the fairy tale, and that's not real. You know, it's like you have to really come back down to earth, and you know, you can sprinkle all these little things in there to make your life a fairy tale, a happy life.
Yeah.
But don't go out there and just have this vision of like, this is my fantasy, because you know, you need to notch it down a little bit.
And the fun thing is, man, I have people where, I have one friend where she, before she got divorced, she said, I'm in a prison of my own design. And I was like, holy shit. And I just felt so free, you mm-hmm. know. It's just like, I do shows, I rock climb, like I have a great life. And I think to some extent, even though I'm on a dating podcast and I run a dating show, to some extent, I think we're too obsessed with dating.
Yeah.
And it's like, have you built a great life for yourself?
Right.
Like,
especially as people get older.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that too. You know,
it's like a great community mm-hmm. of great, you know, I've rock climbing has been like this incredible thing in my life.
That's
you know,
great.
I tried surfing recently. I was like, this is cool. You know, I'm just having a great time.
Yeah.
And I think that the same way we can watch rom-coms and appreciate and love the romance, I don't think we spend enough time appreciating and loving the freedom and the lives we can build for ourselves.
Right.
Like, you wake up every day in your home, you asshole. No, you have a house. But you wake up every day and we're in a fucking choose your own adventure every goddamn day.
Right.
We're in a choose your own adventure book. And what are you doing with it? You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's been interesting also, like, having not just like the housing thing that I've been joking about, but when you have certain like sort of little tragedies in your life and you take a look at your life, and it's nice that when those things happen to me, I love the life that I've built. I don't really know where I was going with that, but I think that like single people, you're okay. You know what I mean? You're listening. You're okay. You're okay. You should spend an equal amount of time trying to date, swiping, going out there, doing what you need to do, but you should spend an equal amount of time, I don't even want to say working on yourself so much as like, I think people lose the part of like having fun.
Well,
like
let me just,
fulfilled,
I, right.
You know?
So what, going off of what you're saying right there, like, you know, not that, like you said, it's not about really saying like, you know, yes, you need to work on loving yourself, but she's not saying that. What she's saying is like,
right,
you just need to be secure with who you are and do what the fuck you want to do. You know what I mean? It's like, and not have to worry about.
I think you need to be scaring yourself and thrilling yourself and trying new things. I know it's very, very cliche, but like,
it's not cliche. It's not though, because a lot of
people just like watch TV all day and they do their comfort things.
But once again, it's the pressure that two things happen. I feel like people put too much pressure on themselves.
Yeah.
And that takes away from them being that dynamic, like you're saying, though.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I'm also an asshole, and this is just one girl's opinion. And you should completely ignore me. Like, I think.
And her house fell down, guys.
Yeah, and I don't even have a home. Like, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
You know why the
Wicked
Witch, like, why she got hit by that brick building.
Yeah, yeah, I deserved it. It's true.
It's karma.
Yeah. What did I do?
What did she do?
I did something wrong, you know?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I made that guy sit down and have a conversation with me. That's why my house broke down.
It's all fault of the one.
Yeah.
All right, Allison. Well, this has been amazing. You've been an amazing guest. Like, I'm definitely going to have
you
back on the show.
Oh, I'd love to
come
back.
Because this is so much fun. Because we could just go with, like, so many different directions with this.
I know it was a low bar, but you were the highlight of my week.
Oh, see? I'm very happy to be that person. It just happened to work out just really well. And so I'm really grateful that you came on my show. I'm really, really excited about what you have for your future going on, because this little blip that just happened with the house falling down, it's just a sign that, you know, you're just moving on and doing bigger, better things.
Yeah, I'm going to get a bigger, better house.
Exactly. With that big-ass check you can only get, girl. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
you know?
I better get a fucking check from this.
Wait, this was all my like renter's insurance? Like, damn. It's like,
Well, it's not just the renter's insurance. I think the whole building is suing.
Well, that's a definite must, because there's more than just that.
That's
now you're tying in emotional and all these other things. So that's definite class action right there for sure. So. And if I was the landlord, I would just fess up and just get on it right now. Get ahead of it, because this could go really bad.
Yeah, it's
so
wild.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's a big company. Take them down. All right, guys. Well, this is Allison Goldberry. Allison, please plug what you have going on for us, please. I know we talked about a lot of things, but what's coming up next for you?
So follow me at Allie_Goldie, Allie_Goldi, across platforms, because no matter when you listen to this podcast, I will be plugging whatever I'm working on on my social media, Allie_Goldie. How to Break Up by Text comes out February 14th. And my next Love Isn't Blind is January 12th in San Francisco.
Great.
I'm taking a little break in LA because I don't have a home. but the next LA one is probably going to be February 17th. And also,
awesome.
If you just want Love Isn't Blind info, you can go to loveisn'tblind.co.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you heard her. Check that all out. Check out her Instagram. Check out all of her social. And please go to her website.
Oh, because AllisonGoldberg.com. That's your, what I should really website. Say. It's yeah. just like yeah. central. AllisonGoldberg.com.
Yeah. And just filter from there. And guys, you can find me at FetchSport on Instagram or all social media and all the rest of me, www.dating-intelligence.com. And that's our show today. And Allison, you've been an amazing co-host today. And guys, I want to thank Connor and you know, the House of Cool Cop for having us here today. I love the fact that he's both of our producers and does all the videography.
Yeah,
stuff,
I have
so.
No idea, so though. Random. Why was he not connecting us sooner? This little asshole is making faces out there.
He's like, I'm keeping
everybody
to myself.
You're lucky you're cute, Connor. You're lucky you're cute.
All right, guys. It's another episode, and we are out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.